Psychologists have said that you'll never get a second chance to make a first impression. Some truth in that, isn't there, really? Because they also reckon that when we meet someone for the first time, that there's a certain moment, and it doesn't take long before we've actually made a judgment about the type of person that we are meeting. How long do you think it takes? Any offers?
4 seconds.
4 seconds. In 4 seconds, we've more or less decided what type of character that person may or may not be like. Now, hopefully, of course, I mean, some of you might take less, I don't know. But hopefully, as we get to know that person, we give them a bit of a chance. We should give them a bit of a chance. But in the initial thoughts, 4 seconds, job done. Dear, oh dear. But you know what we're thinking about as we continue to study Paul's letter to the Romans is God's ways are not our ways. His ways of judging are not our ways of judging. And he's infinitely greater, of course, than we are. And his standards are different. But we need to aspire to them by the grace of God through his Spirit. His realms of judgment, the way he judges, absolutely, completely truthful and wonderful. But we have different standards, it seems, as human beings. And there lies a bit of the struggle. And in chapter 2 of Paul's letter to the Romans, we're beginning to think about God's righteous judgment and what that might look like. And it's very important when we're reading Romans, you need, in order to get to the gain bit, the bit where we understand what freedom is all about, that there's some pain to go through. And in chapter 1, he kind of outlined for us all the obstacles for the early Christian church there that they would come across within that society. That's what chapter 1 was all about. He laid it out before them, the type of people that inevitably are around in any society. Chapter 2, he says, you therefore, he says, have no excuse, and you must not pass judgment on them. It's very interesting, isn't it, that Jesus had a lot to do, had a lot to say about not judging. He said, famously, he said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? And it's kind of almost Monty Python-esque, isn't it, really? You can imagine this huge great plank sticking out if they were to draw it somehow. And he had a comic turn there, I think, but there was a serious point to it. When we judge someone else, we need to check the speck that's in our own eye. We need to be very careful about the way we judge other people. Well, in Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 2, he says very clearly, you therefore, as Christians, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, from whatever point you judge another, you actually are condemning yourself. That's because we've got a plank and they've got a bit of dust. We need to be very careful about the way in which we judge other people. That isn't to say that there isn't a necessity to be careful and to be thinking about what's happening in society. So in the church, over many years, the institutionalized church, the Church of England, the Roman Catholic Church, perhaps one of the problems has been, particularly regarding the safeguarding issues that's been coming up, the church has been quite soft about the sin that's been committed and not very careful. And perhaps over careful about protecting those who have made the mistakes. And therefore, we're into this safeguarding mess that the church is in at the moment. Because we don't know how, we haven't really dealt with things as they've come up and dealt them with those things in a way which is protective of God's people and indeed of the person who's committed whatever sin they've committed. We need to be very careful about that. But never judge the sinner. It's not our place to judge the sinner, but the sin. We need to deal with that most of all. So we're going to look at God's righteous judgment as it appears in chapter 2. And I want to begin, if I may, with verse 11, which says, first of all, God's righteous judgment reveals that he does not show favoritism. verse 11 of Romans 2. God does not show favoritism. And actually, he will judge Jews. And the Jews were God's chosen people, meant to bring God's light into the world. And as they mix with other parts of society, that was their role. They were to be a light to other nations. And that didn't go so well. He will judge Christians. And this is a bit of a shock to some people. He will judge Christians according to the works, the fruit that they have borne. I can talk about that in a little while. And he will judge unbelievers according to the light that has been revealed to them in their lives. So he doesn't show favoritism in that way. Everyone will get to be judged on the judgment day when the Lord returns. That's the way it works. And that's very important for us all to understand. And he doesn't show favoritism in that way. Some people think, well, I'm a Christian, that's it. No worries. Well, what level it is, but there's a response that we need to be making. And of course, famously, the Jews, and particularly in that story of the Good Samaritan, they thought everyone else was beneath them. And that's what that story is basically about, walking by on the other side, when actually they should have been helping the poor man who had been robbed and almost killed, and they chose not to do anything about it. God will judge that kind of behaviour also. But the second thing to say about God's righteous judgment is he will judge fairly. So it says here in verse 6 of chapter 2, God will repay each person according to what they have done. Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because Paul spent ages talking about the way in which we come to faith. Well, of course, our relationship with God through Jesus Christ comes through faith. That is true. We are justified by grace through faith. That's the way it works. But we are judged by the works that we will do. And that's really important. So there ought to be some evidence of our walk with Christ. And where we are persistently choosing to disobey God and to reject him and his ways, well, then we might be judged on that. Now, that might feel like something you don't want to hear, but it's in there. And we need to be a bit careful about the way we walk. We're not talking about wobbly discipleship. We all make mistakes, okay? So don't be fearful. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. I mess up all the time, and I have to come back to God. And that's the way we sort out the indiscretions along the way. We come back continually and regularly to say sorry to God and to the people that we have wronged. That way we keep the relationship with God clear and right, and we enjoy being justified. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we first began this, and I had this kind of picture of Jesus wandering around putting his robe of righteousness on people, just literally. Because when God looks at us as individuals, as Christians, he sees the Jesus that's in us. He's looking for the Jesus in us. That's really crucial in this part of the story. But he's also interested how we respond to his graciousness. How do we serve in the community? How do we look out for the people like the story in the Good Samaritan? Would we walk by on the other side? Do we judge people by the way they look, or what they believe, or what they do, or what they've done wrong? That's not what we're to do. Paul says, don't do it. That's not for us to get involved in. Because God will judge fairly. And that's a really important part of Paul's reasoning and his argument here. He will judge fairly. And he will judge each and every person on the basis of the light that they have received in their lives, the amount of truth that they have received. And of course, those who are not as yet Christians, as far as we know, should always say that, actually, as far as we know. They will be judged by the light they have received, the way they've lived their lives. God will judge them. God will not judge people if they have never met Jesus Christ on that basis. They will judge people who have met Jesus Christ Now, God will judge people who have met Jesus Christ on that basis as well. So it's kind of really important that that we understand that too. God is fair, absolutely fair. When I meet with people, they often say to me, the sun shines on the righteous. Is there another bit to that? And the unrighteous. God is fair. But they usually stop at the first bit. I don't know why that is. Anyway, there you go. That's true. But we, we're justified by faith. Thanks be to God. Judged by what we do. He's going to tot it all up at the end and say, you know, say what he needs to say to us. But if he sees the Jesus in us, and if we continually come back and say sorry to God, we carry on. We just keep carrying on. So he's not interested in wobbly discipleship. He's interested in those who turn away and forget him altogether. And the third thing about God's righteous judgment is that he judges with absolute kindness. Verse 4. He says, do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness? His forbearance and his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. And again, he's fair in all of that. That's for anybody and everybody. He is patient. He is kind. And he has great forbearance for us as Christians. But also for the people of this world who are striving to find him in whatever way they can. And I, for one, am so grateful for those words. God's righteous judgment is full of kindness. If we have known the kindness of God, then we need to show that kindness to those with whom we meet. Not just in this gathering, but actually anywhere. Because God is showing his kindness every day to people in the world who are trying to find their way perhaps towards him. Sometimes they stumble across him for a while and they slip away again. But he's kind, he's tolerant, and he's longing to lead people to that place of repentance, whether we're believers or unbelievers. He's just trying to bring them where? Home. That's what he's longing to do, to bring them home to be with him. So there may be some things in here you hadn't seen before. It speaks to me deeply when I meet with people and I make judgments that I ought not. We really mustn't do it. And actually, you don't even have to say anything. It's up here. Once it's in there, we need to get it out and say, sorry, I didn't mean to think that or say that. I'm sorry. That's enough for God. It's done. Finished with. The slate is clean. And that's a wonderful truth. Also, but if we know his kindness, if we know about his forbearance, if we know his patience, we need to exhibit the same characteristics in our walk with him and with each other and with those with whom we share our lives out in the world, where we're meant to live it out. And then when we stumble across someone like the Good Samaritan did, we will act not in a judgmental way, because that person is this or that or the other, but we will just look out for them and we will do the right thing by them. That's what God's looking for amongst the saints. And indeed, that's what he wants us to become in our attempts to follow him the best way we can by his Spirit. I feel like I need the robe of righteousness put on every day. Don't you just make yourself clean again? And that's a really important picture too. So yeah, God is a righteous judge. He is fair. He doesn't show favoritism. And of course, he judges absolutely with kindness and mercy and with great forbearance.